Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. All this week, we are bringing Christ-centered clarity to the chaos. J.R. Church and Josh Davis are examining the bloodline of the Antichrist found in the book of Daniel this week. Rudy Landa explores the reality of angels and giants, and we'll have the latest developments from Israel on the red heifer. All of these outstanding programs are made possible because of your continued financial support. Your gifts allow us to bring these important topics to the radio. Please consider supporting the work of SWRC today. You can give online at swrc.com, or you can give by calling 1-800-652-1144. Thank you. And a big thank you to everyone who attended our Prophecy in the News live event in Bel Air, Kansas this past weekend. And a very special thanks go out to Rob and Mark Lindstedt and the staff of Sunrise Christian Academy for hosting this special event. Make sure you check out the events page of our website for details on our next event, Mysteries of the Bible Verse, June 7th and 8th in the Cincinnati area. Josh Davis and J.R. Church come now to begin a series examining how the book of Daniel reveals the bloodline of the Antichrist.
Daniel reveals the bloodline of the Antichrist. That's an intriguing title to this book by J.R. Church, the founder of the Prophecy in the News ministry. I'm excited to be joined in studio with John Ruiz, who often writes for the Prophecy in the News magazine and has become a contributor to Watchmen on the Wall as well, and by the Prophecy in the News magazine editor, Lise Cutshaw. Lise, welcome back to Watchmen on the Wall.
Thank you so much.
And John, we welcome you back to Watchmen on the Wall as well.
Thank you. It's a privilege to be with you.
Today and tomorrow, we're going to be highlighting this book that we have brought back into print. Daniel reveals the bloodline of the Antichrist. And I look at this book as being an end times commentary on the book of Daniel. As J.R. Church walks chapter by chapter through the book of Daniel, with a special focus on the prophetic passages contained in this marvelous book of the Bible. And so we're going to be unpacking some of the teaching that J.R. Church includes in this highly readable book, and we'll be discussing some of these things. Lise, why don't you tell us a little bit about J.R. Church and the Prophecy in the News ministry that he helped to start and the magazine? This month is the 2-year anniversary of having the Prophecy in the News magazine back in print, and we're excited to celebrate that milestone. And this is part of that celebration, bringing this book back into print. Daniel reveals the bloodline of the Antichrist.
As I've said a number of times, and I hope folks aren't tired of hearing it, but we are so privileged to get to carry on J.R. Church's legacy, whether it's through the magazine or through his other writings, through his DVDs. He was an amazing man, an amazing man of God. He had such a sense of humor. Everyone loved to listen to him tell his stories. What a storyteller he was. Mm-hmm. As anyone who has read his books or read his articles or read his autobiography that we actually published a short time ago called Keep Looking Up.
Right.
He did that all the way to the very last moments of his life. He kept looking up. He kept reminding everyone to keep looking up. He grew up in Lubbock, Texas, has all kinds of stories about his growing up days there, his and his twin brother's love for anything that drove them from one place to another, whether it was starting with a tricycle to a bicycle, and after that, their cars and their love of cars, and then to the actual love of radio. And he started very young learning about a crystal radio set and how to use it, bought one as soon as he could earn the money for it. And that love of technology, whether it be a car engine, a television. He repaired televisions for people to earn money to put himself through college. That love of technology served him well, especially once he started Prophecy in the News.
Yes.
He moved to Oklahoma in the late 1970s and started immediately writing and started television. He wanted to be a part of all that new technology. Of course, in 78 or 79, television wasn't new, but he was always on the cutting edge of technology, whether it be through their publications or through their television shows that actually were on hundreds of stations and many different venues, and they always had the cutting edge studio.
Yes.
And he loved to give multimedia presentations that would just awe everyone with eight big screens. So he was just someone who had the vision given to him by God. And he carried it through all the way to his death in 2011.
Yes. And I think technology is such a wonderful gift that God has given to us. I recently heard someone say that Rome didn't build the roads so that Paul could travel them and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, nor did the inventors of the microphone use it so that preachers can be heard through radio or in their pulpits. But we have taken those technologies, those advancements, and used them to propel the gospel forward. I'm glad that we can continue to do that in today's world and using all the different means of technology that we have available. So we're excited about some of the things that's happening, and we're excited to be in partnership with the Prophecy in the News ministry and bringing back books like this into print and various other things from J.R. Church over the years. John, why don't you tell us some of your impressions about this particular book, Daniel Reveals the Bloodline of the Antichrist.
Well, Mr. Church was a very learned man. He was well-versed, studied, obviously, in depth. And I was struck by the fact, to echo something that Lee said, that it was almost as though you were sitting with him, listening to him talk. It's very readable and engaging with you as a reader, as he was when he was speaking, if you were a listener. I think also a couple of things that really stuck with me. Number one was how prescient he was, because this book, of course, is being reprinted, but the original version of it, the original writing of it, goes back some years.
Yes.
And he's talking about things such as the New World Order and our great difficulties with the conglomeration of the nations under the, quote, United Nations banner and the gathering of the nations of Europe together. And all that was really just, it was not as though it had only started, but it was very much in its infancy when he was writing. And you could tell that he was very keen on it. He was watching very closely, and his obvious background in prophecy and his understanding of the Bible served him so well as he was looking at these different elements that were developing right there during his lifetime.
Yes.
And we've all been beneficiaries of what he saw and what he felt and what he learned. I don't think that anyone should ever sit back and try and find fault with someone who's attempting to lay out a possibility of what prophecy might mean or where it's going to lead. I think you and I've talked about this before, and
and
we've all, I think, are in agreement. Prophecy is a bit of a mystery. And we're told that we're not going to understand all of it.
Right.
That we have to carry forward with our faith and our belief. You hear sometimes people in our time now who are a little bit more difficult to deal with because they insist on certain things being as they see them precisely, and they can be no other way. Mm. And I think Mr. Church was not like that at all. I think he was a very open-minded man who wanted to learn. Mm-hmm. And I've had the privilege of being around people like that, people who wanted to learn the Bible so they would know God's Word,
yes.
Not so that it would be some sort of a reaffirmation of what they thought.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good. And of course, he did take a strong stand on the gospel and the things that are black and white in Scripture. But some of the things, like you said, with the especially when it comes to Bible prophecy and exploring some of the potentialities that are there for us. And friends, if you're just joining us, we are discussing Daniel Reveals the Bloodline of the Antichrist. It's a book that's back in print, originally written in 2010, published in 2010, and is now back in print from SWRC. If you want to order a copy of this book, you can do so by going to swrc.com. That's swrc.com. Or you can call us at 1-800-652-1144, 1-800-652-1144. We'll get into some of the content of this particular book. And as I said, I consider it to be an end times commentary on the book of Daniel as he marches through chapters 1 through 12 of the book of Revelation. And this book is over 300 pages in length and includes charts and visual representations and so much more. That's very helpful from J.R. Church. And we're excited to have this back in print as part of the celebration of 2 years of having the Prophecy in the News magazine back in print as well. Lise, how can people get a subscription to the magazine if they're interested in doing that?
They can go to prophecyinthenews.com or actually prophecyinthenews.tv. Mm-hmm. And there's a wonderful form there that they can do that digitally. Or as you mentioned, they can phone us at 1-800-652-1144 and talk with a human if they would like to, mm-hmm. about, and they might ask for Tabitha because she's the person who actually oversees the subscriptions.
Yes. Yeah. She does a wonderful job through the magazine and those kinds of things. Now, some of this material is very intriguing, John, as you were alluding to, and some of the possibilities that Reverend Church talked about. And around page 40 of this book, he begins to describe the importance of this leopard and how that comes into play in Bible prophecy. So I want to share just an excerpt of this book and J.R.'s commentary on Daniel chapter number 2. And J.R. Church writes that God began with Babylon because it marked the exile of the Jewish people and the desolation of the promised land. However, God promised that this Gentile domination would not be permanent, that Israel would rise again at the appearing of the Messiah. So from head to toe, this is the story of foreign domination over Jerusalem. He's describing this beast that's revealed in Daniel chapter number 2. The 10 toes make up the kingdom of the Antichrist. His world kingdom will be destroyed by the stone that's cut out without hands. And on the other hand, Nebuchadnezzar's famous city, with its hanging gardens and its colossal tower, certainly offers us a connection with Nimrod's ancient Babylon and mystery Babylon of the future, which is described in the book of Revelation, by the way, friends. And we should note that the head virtually controls the rest of the body. A hand or a foot cannot see, hear, or provide intelligence, only the head. Therefore, we should be aware that Nimrod established a religious and political culture that formed the concept of centralized government. Nimrod's Babylon revived an idolatrous pre-flood religion mentioned in Genesis chapter 6, where certain sons of God descended to the summit of Mount Hermon and lived for a while among men, taking human wives and producing giants. In addition to the biblical account, several ancient sources mentioned these Nephilim, and he goes on to list some of the places that other sources mention these things. And he continues to say their human offspring were destroyed in the flood. However, Genesis 6:4 indicates that another group of these fallen angels descended after the flood and continued their abominable practices. They also established a form of worship known as the Canaanite religion of Baal and Ashtaroth. Canaan was one of four sons of Ham, along with Mizraim, Phut, and Cush. And Nimrod was the son of Cush, the grandson of Ham. And John, I know you wanted to add some comments to these kinds of things. What kind of insight did you see into these kinds of things, or what compelled you to make some connections into this passage that perhaps you hadn't seen before?
The very first time that I heard the book of Daniel, I was, as I recall, 3 years old, and my granny was reading the Bible to me, my granny, whom I loved with all my heart. And that's how she taught me to read, was reading the Bible together. And so these stories are precious to me in the remembrance of how I came to hear them. I think also in our world, we become so taken with technology, which we love. There's nothing any, to me, there's nothing any warmer or more wonderful than radio, because it's a chance to truly communicate one-on-one with people. And you try your best and you hope that you do well. They had technology back during the building of the Tower of Babel, and many other things. We keep seeing the investigations of, like, learning the contents of Roman concrete and how they could pour it underwater and it would form a, you know, that type of thing.
Right, right.
And I think we get a sense of, I hope it isn't arrogance, but a sense of they didn't have anything. They didn't know anything like we do. They didn't understand. Well, yes, actually, I think they did. And that's one of the reasons that I love J.R. Church's work so much, is because he takes you back there and connects you with that time. I was greatly interested to, as you and I were discussing a little bit ago, about the importance of the leopard skin.
Yes.
I had some understanding about the connection with Nimrod, but I did not realize how much farther back it went, maybe even back to the Garden of Eden, and how it carried forward. Once again, this is the symbolism of the prophecy that we may or may not understand completely and fully, but it's fascinating to me.
It is. And he has a section called The Symbolic Leopard, and he begins to unpack some of his theory on these things. It involves the tribe of Dan and their involvement, and he asks the question as he develops that, is the tribe of Dan perhaps the origin of what would become Roman civilization as we know it and all throughout history? And he unpacks that in this book. The name of the book is Daniel Reveals the Bloodline of the Antichrist. You can get a copy by contacting us at 1-800-652-1144 or by visiting swrc.com. That's swrc.com. Let me read a little bit more of what he has to say about this leopard and go from there. He says, before leaving our study of the belly and the thighs of brass, which is again describing the vision in Daniel chapter number 2, he says, let us take this opportunity to consider another metaphoric symbol connected with Nimrod and Mount Hermon, the symbolic leopard. Solomon once wrote of the three peaks of Mount Hermon were known as the mountains of the leopards. In the Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 8, it says, come with me from Lebanon, my spouse with me from Lebanon. Look from the top of Amana, from the top of Shinar and Hermon, from the lion's dens and the mountains of the leopards. Here's references to lion's dens and to the mountains of the leopards from the Song of Solomon, chapter 4, and verse 8. And he goes on to unpack this a little bit more. As he says, it is said that Ham's grandson, Nimrod, wore a leopard skin as a symbol of his kingship. And evidently, the symbolic leopard had its roots in the earliest stories of human civilization. It is quite possible that leopard skins were worn by the world's first king and queen, Adam and Eve. Though some Christian theologians have suggested that God killed sheep for Adam and Eve's clothing, there is no actual historical evidence. On the other hand, as ancient tribes migrated across the globe, tribal leaders donned leopard skins as symbols of rulership. And he says that, "I once saw a picture of the first king of China wearing a leopard skin. There's a wall painting in the Egyptian tomb of Tutankhamun, King Tut, in other words, depicting the successor to his throne wearing a leopard skin. I've also seen portraits of European royals wearing leopard skins. It is apparent that all early civilizations were acquainted with the symbolism of the leopard, thus showing a common ancestry among men." And furthermore, ancient sources report that Nimrod's leopard skin gave him a political advantage, being accepted as the undisputed ruler of the world. It seems that the political authority once belonging to Adam was recognized in Nimrod. And he goes on to explain this even further from there. John, do you have any other reaction to that? And as he develops this symbolism of the leopard, he begins to connect it more and more with other people who would come after him. And he unpacks it even into the tribe of Ham, as the flag was chosen for the Spartans later on as being an eagle with a snake in its claws, and he continues to explain this symbolism. John, do you have any insight in that you'd like to offer for us?
I wish I knew more about it than I do. I think it's extraordinary as you go back through history and you see the impact of the symbolism of certain animals and certain actions. And you were just saying the imagery on flags or crescents or so forth. We don't know exactly what animals were located in certain areas during the time that we're talking about, because the world has changed some, and migration of people, migration of animals. But I think it's a fascinating thing. Obviously, if Nimrod was considered the tamer of leopards as a show of his manhood, his strength, his ability as a hunter, that him being able to tame or catch or even hunt with, if you will, some of the fiercest of hunters, and that would be mm-hmm. the leopards, naturally. Yes. And then on top of that, that the skins are so one of a kind, such a thing that no one would be able to mistake it.
Right.
Right. Anyone would know what that was. So that maybe that was a method by which he was able to gain even more standing or more respect among the people of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I can't say that with certainty. I wasn't there.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, and I think J.R. is making the point that it could be very well likely that the Antichrist will become perhaps a descendant of Nimrod and will certainly take on this leopard-like persona and the influence as you see that leopard as a symbol of power, of world domination. And he thinks that Daniel is, by using the symbol of a leopard, speaking about someone who has this spirit of world domination. And I think that's really the driving force behind the late J.R. Church's argument that he makes here with the leopard. And we'll continue on unpacking some more of these things on the next program. Elise, do you have any final thoughts, even about J.R. Church in general, about this book in particular?
I'd like to note that this book in particular may have been the last one that J.R. Church wrote before his passing from cancer. And so that makes it extra special, I think, mm-hmm. to me and probably to a lot of people who loved him very much and loved his shows and his writing. I think that we have a lot of things to celebrate and to recognize mm-hmm. right now, and this book is one of them.
And we'll continue unpacking these things on tomorrow's program. Just to give you a highlight of some of the kinds of things that we're going to be talking about on tomorrow's program, J.R. Church walks through the book of Daniel, and we've just scratched the surface. We were mainly talking about Daniel chapter 2, and the bulk of Daniel's prophecy comes at the latter chapters of this marvelous book. And so we'll be looking at some of those kinds of symbolism. He goes back to explore the leopard with four wings, and he asks a very interesting question. And I think this goes to what John was saying earlier. Could this be a foreshadowing of a Fourth Reich? And today we're hearing about the Fourth Industrial Revolution. Actors like Klaus Schwab, the World Economic Forum, these people who are on the world stage are touting a Fourth Industrial Revolution. Could this tie in with a leopard with four wings? We'll let you know what J.R. Church had to say about that. Even before these players came onto the world stage and he was pointing these kinds of things out, he talks about the beast with 10 horns, the Antichrist, the roots of the Antichrist, and the bloodline of the Antichrist. Can we know which family, which tribe, which group of people the Antichrist will come from? We don't play pin the tail on the Antichrist. We're not here to say this is the Antichrist. And J.R. Church in this book doesn't make a definitive statement of here is the Antichrist. And if you're looking for that and you get this book, you're going to be disappointed, because that's not the goal of this. The goal of this is to look and to see, what does Daniel say in this book of the Bible? And does he give us any kind of hints, any kind of indication that this is where the Antichrist will come from? In this book of Daniel, he talks more about this figure than any of the other Old Testament prophets. And so that's why we're giving special attention to the figure of the Antichrist in the book of Daniel. And that's why Reverend J.R. Church did as well. So we encourage you to join us again tomorrow as we pick up some more of this important discussion on Daniel Reveals the Bloodline of the Antichrist.
Daniel Reveals the Bloodline of the Antichrist by J.R. Church is a book that you need to add to your library. In this book, J.R. Church gives new biblical insights on an already rather well-accepted subject and introduces startling new explanations of Jewish-Gentile calendar discrepancies. You'll find that this book fills the historical gaps and lays out the calendar of future events in an easy-to-understand format. Order your copy of Daniel Reveals the Bloodline of the Antichrist when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order on our website, swrc.com. Daniel Reveals the Bloodline of the Antichrist by J.R. Church. 1-800-652-1144. Tomorrow, J.R. Church will continue to share his biblical insights on the bloodline of the Antichrist. Be sure to tune in on your favorite radio station by downloading our SWRC mobile app, by visiting oneplace.com, sermonaudio.com, and now pray.com. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. Visit swrc.com. That's swrc.com.